Tonight, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to a little book over in the Old Testament. It is a book that follows Judges. It's a little book of Ruth, four chapters. And it's a wonderful story, a beautiful little book, beautiful story. And in it, God is saying, I love you. I love you. And no matter what you say, the Bible is written. The Bible is it is a love story. From one end to the other, God is saying, I love you. And so I want to talk to you tonight about this little story. We'll look at it. Ruth chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. We'll read together. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. And after they lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her sons and without her husband. Now, I want to say tonight that, as I already said, the Bible is all about saying I love you. We all like a good romance story, don't we? And I want to tell you that it was a great Christmas Eve night 2 years ago, Brother Roger, when you and Sarah invited me to your house. And two of my deacons, Matt, they stand over in the corner with Dale Marsh. And who was that other deacon? Who was the other deacon? Going to admit it? Bill Surge is sitting back there. I don't see Bill. I don't see Dale. But Bill and Dale said, hey, there's an eligible. Is Dale up there? Well, there he is behind you. Okay, I got it. All right. The two guilty parties right there. But they said the most eligible young lady in the house is over there with her mother, and her name is Doris. That's the mother's name. And so it wasn't too long until I invited, a few Sunday nights later, I invited Celia out. I said, would you like to go out to dinner after church one Sunday night? And we went to Santa Fe that night. And then it was about 2 weeks later. I don't know why I let a week go by, but I did, Eddie. And it was 2 weeks later that I called a man on a Sunday night, and I said, what are y'all doing? And he was at church, and I said, what are y'all doing? He said, we're eating a pineapple sandwich. And he said, do you like pineapple? And I said, I sure do. And so I went over there, Rob, and they told this later on. They said, when I left, Dar said to Celia, she said, Celia, you didn't put very much pineapple on my sandwich. She said, I only had about a half a slice of pineapple. And Celia said, well, I don't know how much I put on yours, but it was a lot more than I had on mine. She said she thought she had plenty of pineapple, but they let me eat the pineapple sandwich and they ate pineapple juice. And when we got married, some of you know this story, it was Bobby Bowden who gave me one of our first wedding gifts, Brother Bill. He gave me, it was too big. It was a nice package, and we opened the wedding gift. It was two big cans of pineapple, and one of them had Doris's name on it, one C's name on it, and it has a little bitty can of pineapple, and it had Sonny's name on it. So, but anyway, that's where the love affair began, right there. And love is a wonderful thing. I'm reminded of the old boy that asked his wife, he said he didn't understand why God made women so beautiful and yet so dumb. You ever hear that one? He said, yeah, the answer was. She said, well, the answer is God made us beautiful so you'd love us. God made me beautiful so you love me. And God made me dumb so I'd love you. So that's a pretty good one, isn't it? Well, anyway, God is the author of love between the sexes. I believe that. And Ben Franklin one time, he said, he was a member of the French Literary Society, and the French Literary Society was a society of agnostics and atheists, and they were against the Bible. And so they assigned all of them to write a story for the French Literary Society. And what he did, he took this little story of Ruth in the Bible, and he rewrote it in his own words and turned it in. And they said the president of that society, he said, Mr. Franklin, that Dr. Franklin, that is the most wonderful story I've ever read in anywhere. He said, we'd like for your permission to reprint that story and give it to the world. And Benjamin Franklin said, I'm sorry, but that story is already in print. And it's in the Bible, the book that you say you don't care anything about, and obviously you don't know anything about. But it's already been printed and given to the world. The story is the book of Ruth. And so that's what I want to look at tonight. Let me tell you the background. The background of this story is that the Bible says in the days of the judges, and in the days of judges, just before Joshua, judges is a book before this, the Bible says in the last verse, it says in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, it says, in those days in Israel, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. And the King James says, every man did what was right in his own eyes. We live in a day much like that today, Ed, I believe, when men do what's right in their own eyes. But the Bible says in the days of the judges, when the judges ruled, and you know who some of the judges were, one of them was Samson, one of them was Jephthah, another one was Deborah, a lady, and in the period of the judges. But it says here that there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, his name was Elimelech. He had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and his wife's name was Naomi. The Bible says there's a famine in the land, so they said, we're going to move off across the Jordan to Moab. And I preached a sermon one time, Brother Mike, on moving to Moab. That's sometimes a dangerous thing when you leave Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, the house of peace. When you leave there and go to Moab, it's a dangerous thing to go to Moab. Because they move off to Moab and they got over there the Bible says 10 years later, the Bible says that those two sons, they married, both of them married Moabite women. One's name is Ruth. The other's name is Orpha. And the Bible says that they'd been there 10 years that those boys died and Elimelech died. And so that leaves Ruth and Orpha and Naomi, all three of them widows. And Naomi says to them one day, I'm going back home. I'm going back to my people. And Orpha and Ruth said, we're going to go with you. And she says, I can't take care of you. No way I can take care of you. You stay here among your people. And I love that verse, Andy. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. And then the King James says, for whither thou goest, will I go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And I just prayed a few minutes ago. I believe the reason a lot of young people are here tonight, and a lot of you older people are here, because I believe Al Miller's here tonight, because he's here because of Ann Miller's God, and his dad is God. And I believe a lot of you here tonight. I believe Matt is here because of mom and dad is God. Isn't that right? Because of mom and dad is God. And that's a wonderful thing. And I hope my kids today, I pray that all three of them, and I believe that, they've been in worship somewhere in their church, and I hope they're there tonight, Will, because they could say, I want daddy's God to be my God. But that's what she said. Thy God, my God, entreat me not to leave thee. And probably I've used that at weddings. Probably you've heard it many times, Haddon Hill. How many weddings have you played for in your life? You don't?
Hundreds.
Hundreds. Who did? Jackie did. Where's Jackie? There she is, right on the back, as far as you can go. How many of you played in, Carol, how many of you played for? How many weddings? Have you heard that scripture before? It's often been used in weddings. But anyway, we find here that it's a wonderful picture. Let me tell you this. This is a wonderful picture. And I'll make three points. There are really three main characters in this story tonight. Three main characters, just real briefly. One of them is Ruth. And this is a wonderful picture of Christ and the church in the story of Ruth. And first point I want to make is that Ruth lost her inheritance. And this represents people of the church before they're saved. And it's because the Bible says before they went down into Moab, Elimelech had some property. But that property was mortgaged off. It had been paid, the taxes had been paid. by somebody else. And so they lost everything, didn't have anything to go home to. And I want to tell you, that is a picture, really. Ruth's life is a picture of the church. It represents me and you. Because, see, one of our great-granddaddies, he sold out a long time ago. Adam sold out to the devil. And our inheritance was lost. He sold us into slavery. And a lot of people say, well, why does what Adam did affect me? I didn't vote for that. Well, I just want to tell you tonight that we're all Americans. And if our president decides to go to war, we'll go to war with him because he represents us. And Adam represented you and me. And Ruth really is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was had been sold into slavery. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, if you have your Bible, you can look at it, look it up. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all have sinned. And I say this, if you go to hell, you won't go for Adam's sin, you'll go for your sin. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I don't care how young the child is, everybody here tonight knows what a lie is. And we've all, that's probably all of us, have misrepresented the truth and told a lie. But also, Ruth was not only, she lost the inheritance, that's point number one, but she was under a curse. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3 says, no Ammonite or Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. She was under a curse. You and I are under a curse. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, let me read that one. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, it says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, and Ruth was a Gentile by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. And that's her predicament. That's where Ruth was. She was without hope. And they were living down there and went back. They moved back, and there she is, living down there without hope. She's lost her inheritance. She's under a curse. Then that brings me to the second thing, and that is the second character here was the unwilling redeemer. We see in chapter 3 and verse 3:12, it says, although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. In Israel, they had a thing called the kinsman redeemer. And that was if you lost your property, owed back taxes, had to do with marriage rights, but if you got into trouble, then your near kinsman, your kinsman redeemer, he could ransom you. He could pay the debt. And the Bible says here, though, in chapter 3 and verse 12, that he had to be given the opportunity first. Now, you know how the story goes that when Ruth and Naomi get down to back to Jerusalem, back to Bethlehem in Judah, when she goes back home, that Bible says that she saw a man by the name of Boaz. And Boaz, he loved her. Really, it was a Cinderella story. She was a girl from the wrong side of the tracks. She was a Gentile from another place. And the Bible says that he was an older man. Maybe this is a good story. I'm glad she is not here tonight. She was our mother. And so maybe it's kind of, she's Ruth and I'm Boaz. But anyway, it says they fell in love with each other. And you know how she went out there to glean in the fields. You know these four chapters, how she went out there to glean. And Boaz saw her and he asked somebody, he said, who is that? She caught his eye. He said, who is that? And they said, that's Ruth the Moabitess. And he said, leave a little extra grain for her to harvest. Don't strip the fields clean, but leave a little extra for Ruth. He fell in love with her, and she loved him. He wanted her. But there was somebody, old Boaz looked up the family tree, and he found out, John, that there was, he knew that he was a distant cousin, but he looked up the family tree, and somebody was closer to that widow that later than he was. And so he said, there's a near kinsman than I, a kinsman redeemer. By the way, you know who our kinsman redeemer is? Our kinsman redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who redeemed you and I. But this kinsman redeemer, he couldn't do it. And by the way, who is a kinsman redeemer? I think being the kinsman redeemer, because later on Boaz will call for 10 men. He'll call for 10 witnesses. And I think they represent the 10 commandments. He said, if you'll stand, I think that near kinsman, the unwilling redeemer, character number two. I said Ruth was number one. The unwilling redeemer was number two. He was not willing to do it. But I think the unwilling redeemer is a picture of the Ten Commandments. The law. The law cannot redeem us. A lot of people think, I'll get to God, I can come by good deeds, I can come from joining the church, by living a good life. But the Bible says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Nobody's going to get there that way. And we're redeemed only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the third person I want to mention tonight is the kinsman redeemer himself, and that is Boaz. Boaz, he does three things. Boaz is a picture of Christ. He does three things. And really, there are three things necessary to redeem Ruth. First thing is, he has to have the right to do it. Not anybody could do it. Not just anybody could do it. He had to have the right to do it. And he had the right to do it. And the Lord Jesus has a right to me and you. He has a claim on you and I. He has the right to do it. God's only begotten Son came in this world for that prayer. He has the right to do it. Then I want to tell you the second thing is, you got to have the power to do it. And Jesus had the power to do it. Just like Boaz had the power to do it, to redeem Ruth, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that he said that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. And he said that in Matthew 28, all power in heaven and earth is mine. He had the power to do it. And then the third thing is, he had the willingness. He had to be willing to do it. Now, Boaz could have all the money in the world. He could have had everything. But it's an amazing thing that he loved her. He wanted to do it for her. He loved her. He wanted to redeem her. And that's pretty amazing about me and you. Pretty amazing to me that, Frankie, that Celia loved me. It's amazing that she loved me. And it's more amazing that God loves me. But not only does he have the right to me, and not only does he have the power to save me, but he is willing to do it. He wants to do it. And the Bible says here in chapter 4, verse 2, Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here. And they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, Naomi has come back from Moab and is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of those seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I'm next in line. And then in verse 4 he says, I will redeem it, he said. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. Verse 6, at this the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself, I cannot do it. Now in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today, you are my witnesses. I heard a story of a little washerwoman who became a Christian. And the man she worked for was a skeptic. You're making fun of her, Jamie. And he said, Mary, they tell me you've become a Christian. And she said, that's right, I have. And he's just making fun. He said, well, tell me what it's like to be a Christian. This little washerwoman said, well, I don't know if I can explain it, but the best I can rightly explain it is this. Being a Christian is Jesus standing in my shoes and me standing in His. And that's really what being a Christian is. Because one day He stood in my place. And 2 Corinthians says something about that. It says, now then, you are ambassadors for Christ. We pray you in Christ's stead. Because one day He stood in my place. One day, Joyce Mike, our kinsman redeemer hung on the cross. He hung in my place. And tonight I stand in His place. He stood in my shoes. And I stand in His shoes. We sang a song, love so amazing, so divine, demands what? My life, my heart, my all. We buried the oldest member of our church on Saturday, yesterday, 96. And we buried another lady not long ago. I can't remember who it was. Somebody can help me with this. Betty Jane, somebody can help me. Who was the lady we buried not long ago, Gary, that her daughter sang at the Dawn Foreman. And she said, she closed out that day, she said, I want to sing my mother's favorite song. You know what it was? Guess what it was? Blessed Redeemer. Blessed Redeemer. Seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. That's a picture of our kinsman redeemer. He's my kinsman redeemer, the one who stood in my shoes, stood in my place. The law can't do it. The unwilling redeemer, the old man can't do it. Our old nature, Adam, can't do it, but Jesus could do it. Thank God for our blessed redeemer.